Welcome to Everyday Design, the show that brings out the designer in you, living life by design. Today, we'll be talking about designing our own food security. And we have with us the head of the Barbados Agricultural Society, Mr. James Paul. How are you doing, sir?
I'm fine, thank you. And, you know, I'm glad to be here.
Okay, terrific. Now, we're talking about food security. And, of course, the Barbados Agricultural Society is at the head of that. Mm-hmm. And congratulations on your AgriFest.
Well, thank you very much. It was really stressful this year, but, you know, we managed to bring it off.
Yeah, well, it would have been a bit more stressful if it were a bit further down in the year because you would have had to deal with this whole COVID-19 issue. In fact, you probably would have had to cancel it. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so thankfully you were able to bypass that. But I think with the onset of COVID-19 now, and it's really created a lot of issues that we really had not seen before. People did not think that, you know, anything could happen that would cause ships to basically be floating in the water without passengers on them. Mm-hmm. Planes to essentially stop flying around the world, where people are really slowing down the air traffic right now. Mm-hmm. Basically, the world is almost grinding to, I don't want to say to a standstill, but to a very slow pace. And, you know, people are practicing social distancing and all these really healthy habits, which we have to do in this climate. But it's also affecting our food security, because with traffic slowing down, we depend lots on imports. What is our food security from the Agricultural Society's perspective at the time, at this time?
Well, we are vulnerable, I can tell you that. We have to take into consideration is that right now, in terms of restriction of movement, in terms of international transport, mm-hmm. it does not apply to the movement of goods.
Oh, wow.
So from that point of view, our traditional suppliers of food items, that is not jeopardized at all from what I can see in the short term. Mm-hmm. So from that point of view, we don't need to worry. But there is an element where, for instance, where we need to worry is that, for instance, those same people are human beings like anybody else.
Right.
So, for instance, let's take in the United States of America or wherever that we get our food from. If the actors in that particular arena get sick, it means then that somebody, the truckers can't drive. In mm-hmm. other words, if these truckers get sick, they can't drive.
Right.
Because remember that we are human beings in a society. And if we get exposed to diseases or whatever that basically prevents our ability to do the job that we're doing, it is a problem. So it is some concern because we don't know whether or not the traditional food supply routes would get any disruptions. Hopefully they will not be getting any disruptions. Mm-hmm. But we must prepare ourselves, and that is why, for instance, the ability of Barbadians to at least, and Barbados itself, to feed itself mm-hmm. To some degree is something that we should not take for granted. And that is why it is so important now at this stage that we do take certain steps to try to ensure that we do ramp up food production at this point in time.
Now, you touched on something. I had a discussion with some people quite a few years ago about whether Barbados can feed itself. There were some people who were of the opinion that Barbados is too small. We cannot feed ourselves. Mm-hmm. I did not agree with that. Mm-hmm. I'm saying we can feed ourselves. I don't think that we would necessarily be eating the same way as if you're importing. But I think that Barbados has the capacity in terms of to produce, whether it's breadfruits, yams, potatoes, whatever, to give a living. And then, of course, from breadfruits, you can get flour, even yams, you can get flour, different things. So the quality might not be the same or the variety, but we have the ability to feed ourselves. That was my view. What is your view on that?
Barbados has the ability to feed itself. The problem is this consumer taste. We are all part of a big world in which traditionally we are accustomed to eat certain things. And strange enough, you know, I keep on saying to people, well, this is not you take the plant that we call aloe vera mm-hmm. in this country. The aloe vera plant is one of the principal ingredients in terms of sanitizing lotions. And yeah.
It is.
A lot of them, it is, right?
Barbadianus or something like that, right? Yeah.
But the problem is that we treat the plant in a very, you know, very disgraceful way. Mm-hmm. In other words, we look at it and we don't take much regard for it. For instance, the soursop, mm-hmm. okay, which actually is very important in terms of the treatment of certain types of cancers overseas, mm-hmm. okay? All of these things appear. We don't have any regard for the fruits that we produce in this country. And we do have the ability to feed ourselves because, for instance, a lot of the fruits, if we grow them seriously, if we look at the plant husbandry that we needed to undertake in a very serious way. For instance, if we, one of the biggest problems with our fruit trees is that they get attacked by wood ants. Why? Because we don't pay attention to the fact that they need to be looked after. Mm-hmm. And we need to treat them. Okay? All of these things we somehow do not do because we feel as, you know, I've seen situations where mangoes are falling. You have people who have mango trees.
Mm-hmm.
In the yard.
Yep.
And the mangoes are falling on the ground.
But that's the regular case.
Yeah, hold on. They go to the supermarket
mm-hmm.
and they buy mangoes from the supermarket, which could easily be growing at home.
Mm-hmm.
This is a typical thing. I mean, you take a simpler crop as lettuce, for instance. Lettuce is one of the easiest crops to grow. And as a matter of fact, it's a very healthy one. It's very important in terms of maintaining your body and cleaning your body, your stomach and everything else like that. But, you know, we refuse to grow. I think really the issue is this, that we have to stop thinking. It's a part of our colonial, I guess it's part of our colonial thing, remnants, where we seem to think that somebody else has a responsibility to provide us with the things that we need. But, of course, we don't take into consideration that there's a consequence, a price. And one of the other issues that we don't take into consideration, in times like these, we're definitely, not only Barbados is under stress, but many countries around the world is actually under stress. They're actually under stress. And we have to recognize that people will make choices when food begins to get scarce, when the ability of a supplier, for instance, but we know, in all our agricultural trade, young here, when we are trading in items, when things get scarce, they start to make choices. And of course, the food goes to where you can get the highest.
Right, so well, as the most I'm part, supply and demand.
We have to come to that reality that we cannot afford and continue to think that we can leave thousands of acres of land idle in Barbados. Not only that, we cannot afford to continue to think that every piece of land that is out there that we could just take and put it into housing.
Yeah.
Because in the short term it makes a few bucks for us. But what about in the long term? And I'm one of those people that really think that basically Barbados now we are overbuilding. But why is we are overbuilding? Because that is what the banks will lend money for. That is what creates the easiest buck for people. When we have buildings in Bridgetown sitting down, empty, not being rented. For instance, look at the National Insurance Building. I mean, that's been knocked down now. But the thing is really that, you know, what would it take for us to recondition those buildings instead of going out and taking up green areas that we should be planting food in, okay, rather than trying to say, we talk about the development of Bridgetown and the redevelopment of Bridgetown. Why are we allowing buildings in Bridgetown to sit down and rot to the point we have to push them down when it is a question of maintenance? And that is an issue.
Okay, Mr. Paul, we'll take a break here and we'll come back with more with Everyday Design.
Do you have windows that need repairing? Do you need screens? Are you propping up your windows with a stick? Don't wait till the hurricane season to fix your windows and screens. Call Lord's Window and Screen Repairs at 261-8732 or 260-8633. We are your reliable window and door screen repair company. Protect your home and family with Lord's Window and Screen Repairs. Contact us today on Facebook or call 261-8732 or 260-8633 for a free quotation.
Welcome back to Everyday Design. I'm here with Mr. James Paul, head of the Barbados Agricultural Society. And in the last session, you said quite a bit. And you were talking about in terms of land use and the aloe vera plant, the soursop, and how we kind of look at them with disdain to some degree. I'm thinking that part of the reason has to do with research and development. I think that research and development or a scientific community probably needs to, you know, step up to the plate as it pertains to the use of some of these plants. Maybe it's not the scientific community. Maybe some of the entrepreneurs can, you know, package it in the right way. But sometimes you need a bit of science in there you know, where people can come in and they really explore ways that, you know, extract certain things from it. And I, from what I've seen, we haven't seen that type of scientist, that practical scientist, where we're doing things to further the country necessarily. I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
You know, it also points to where the university faces. The University of the West Indies is an institution in which we have invested a lot in. Regionally and, of course, nationally, we have invested a lot in. And I still wonder today, in terms of the resources, where we are channeling our resources, whether or not we are channeling in areas that is going to have some implications, at least a positive impact in terms of development. For instance, farmers should not at this stage, as you quite correctly pointed out, to have to look around to see what is the correct plant agronomy for the pear tree. How do we get them to grow consistently? How do we look up for varieties? And not only that, at the time in our history, when, for instance, Barbados was the leading research area for sugar, other areas have actually taken over that position. Mm-hmm. So we have allowed areas in which we had a comparative advantage to actually let other countries, okay, put us as the consumers, mm-hmm. but they have taken over as the leaders in terms of development. And I think that is an issue fundamentally that needs to be addressed. I really do agree with you that the problem that we are facing today is a lack of self-confidence in the areas of research. That basically, why isn't the University of the West Indies, for instance, taking its students to research areas that present problems to our local farming community? I have been one of those people, for instance, the use of the area of land up at Jukes. You know, I was the most shocked person when that land that was given to the University of West Indies, which was actually for food security purposes, the university wanted to put concrete on it, put these buildings on it, unnecessarily, of course. When, for instance, in the area of research, food research, that you need research stations, mm-hmm. grow plants, and you analyze them, analyze their performance, okay, to see basically what is the best way that we should proceed in terms of these things. And I really think that we are taking what we have as a tropical country, first of all, for granted, but also I think that we are underestimating the impact of things such as these. When we get the whole thing with the coronavirus, all of a sudden now we're going to hear people saying, oh, how it is important to think about food security. But one of the issues and the challenges that we face now is that we will discover it is not easy to go from a position where you are producing at the minimum to where you need to produce to really step up.
Right.
It is not a situation where you can go to a supermarket and these things are on the shelves and you can just take off.
Right.
Right.
Food takes time to grow, especially if you're talking about crops. You know, we've heard the government talking about short-term crops and different things that they're growing. But essentially, there is a lot of scope for the improvement. Now, I've always given this scenario where if a gentleman came up to me and said, I'm hungry, okay? And then you look behind him and you said, but is that your land? And he says, yes. And you look at the land and it's full of, you know, Mori mossy trees, bush, different things like that. Well, you really look at him and go, but what's really going on here, buddy? What's happening? You know, you're telling me you're hungry, that you don't have food, but I look at what you have and it's overrun with bush. Now, I take that to a macro perspective where a country comes and says, oh, we don't have any food. I'm not speaking about our country. I just want to say that. I'm not speaking about Barbados per se, but I'm speaking about food security. If we say that we don't have food, we don't have enough food, and then you look around and you see, okay, huge tracts of land just pushing up bush and trees. Nobody's using it. You know what I mean? I think there's a problem with that.
But there's a problem. And the thing is really that, you know, I think that we also need to start to look seriously and saying, look, for instance, there's some areas in England, which is a country far bigger than ours, which they have said, this area is for agriculture. Nothing else can happen besides agriculture. You can own the land, but in owning it, you cannot seek to take it out of agriculture. Mm-hmm. The unfortunate thing that we have a situation in Barbados where, for instance, I think it's Draxol, okay? Draxol Plantation, which I see now edges of it being turned into for residential purposes. And this is good agricultural land. Now, why is it that you have people in this country who are prepared to buy these large tracts of land. They are not serious about really farming, but they are looking at it from the point of view of the real estate potential.
Yeah, I think people are mainly looking at what money can I make for this, because I've seen some farmers, especially as it related to sugarcane, saying that it is cheaper for them to leave the canes in the ground and let them rot or whatever the case is, rather than to have some person cut it and go through that process. But at the end of the day, as it relates to a country, you know, okay, maybe from your economic perspective, sugarcane might have been a challenge, but from a country perspective, the country needs that land.
But you know, even from an economic perspective, it makes sense for us to invest in our agricultural sector. Why is it then you find that you take the EU takes billions of dollars on an annual basis and invest in the agricultural sector?
You're talking about subsidies?
Even in the form of subsidies,
right?
United States does the same thing, because they do recognize that really the price of food that we see in the world today is not by accident. It's because of the fact that other nations, we are actually benefiting from the policies that other nations have. You take a simple thing such as cornflakes that we import. That price is an artificial price by and large. Because why? They benefit from the huge subsidies that the American government gives to corn and other governments too at the same time. We also need to recognize that if you are going to have investment in agriculture, we need to support our farmers more. And I can understand sometimes why a chap with land that, you know, you have to look for the investment. But there's nothing wrong with government having a comprehensive subsidy program that says to some person who wants to get into agriculture, we're going to help you, we're going to hold your hands. Because that is what happens in tourism.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So why can't we have that kind of equity in terms of treatment of sectors when you look at tourism as when you look at them? Because I remember when we had 9/11, if you recall, it was, for instance, the tourism people started to boil and they said, well, tell us. It was like a blank check. Tell us how much you need. On the other hand, in the same way when it comes to agriculture, when we bought, they say to us, man, what y'all keep so much noise for? Trying to do what you can to help us.
Mm-hmm.
But they do not understand that the startup cost in terms of agriculture is expensive. And agriculture is probably one of the few industries that are subject to the vagaries of the weather, unlike any other. Because, for instance, one of the things I've always said to people, you can have a crop growing for, say, 6 weeks, 6, 7, 8, 9 weeks. And at the end of that period, you can get attacked by a pest. Somehow, the rain could fall in the wrong place at the wrong time. Okay? A number of things. And, of course, you have the other thing, pre-larceny, of course, that we have to take into consideration.
Yep.
In other words, you have so many things militating against you that I think that farming deserves greater levels of support than we are seeing at the moment. Right, and that is something, of course, and there's not anything political into that, but the point is really, it is a fact that the esteem within which we as a country should hold agriculture, we do not. So that is why sometimes when, for instance, the agriculturalists start to say, well, we need such and such, you have even people within the community represent that. On the other hand, those same people, okay, but what many when they are in times of crisis, that the agricultural sector numbers step up to help them. But you cannot do it. It is not anything magical. We need greater stability. We need to find that basically there is a greater concerted effort to support the agricultural sector.
Well, I mean, we've seen that tourism is a lucrative business. It has been one of the, you know, major foreign exchange earners in the country. But we also seen it can be affected quite easily by disasters such as this, 9/11, and things of that sort. Whereas, as you're saying, farming is like a grassroots thing. You can't do without it. You absolutely need it. Because if you don't have it, you're going to end up having to buy, because people need to eat. You're going to have to buy the same food from somewhere else.
Something about tourism, you know. The studies have been done to show you that out of every tourist dollar that you earn, you spend something as high as 80 cents. And sometimes, even in some tourist establishments here, all they do is send back cash flow to pay the workers. You have to ask yourself the extent to which countries are really benefiting from tourism. And a lot of these major hotel chains, where do they keep a lot of their bank accounts? They don't keep it here. Their major bank accounts, if we don't get the blessings of that, right? So in other words, when you look at the chain of earnings in the tourism sector, you have to ask yourself whether or not the type of even infrastructure that governments have to put down, okay, is it worth it? And not only that, I think it is worth it where, for instance, you find that it is closely tied in with the local agricultural sector. That is why, for instance, one of the things that we continue to push within the agricultural sector is the need for hotels to support more our local agriculturalists. There is no reason why a substantial proportion of the vegetables and fruits that hotels buy today could not be sourced locally. And again, as you had indicated earlier, the question of research, if a hotel has a particular variety that it needs, why can't we, with the help of institutions such as, say, the University of the West Indies, let them find ways to help the farmers? And too often I find that one of the problems that we have in agriculture, we have too many people that like to sit down and write beautiful papers, and they go on the desk and they sit, they're beautiful papers. But I am talking about the fact there's a need for applied research, where our scientists should be there sitting down working with our farmers to help them to address the issues that they face on a day-to-day basis. I'll give you a typical example. In our dairy industry, for instance, sometimes we have a problem in terms of the cows coming back on heat. Okay? What is it? And we need to find out maybe, okay, what does the farmer need to do in terms of the management of its operations? Maybe look at the type of feed that is given. Maybe look at the conditions under which the cows are kept. Mm-hmm. But that type of research assistance to farmers very often is not there. And sometimes I will admit to you that there's a culture sometimes in many farmers that say something, I've been doing this way for so many years.
Yeah.
But we've got to get past that. And that is what we need to revolutionize.
So what you're saying then is that there's a need for the scientific community to come out, because, okay, you're one farmer, you know about your issues. Mm-hmm. There's another farmer, he has his own issues, and that is pretty much the way it is across the board. But if you have scientists who are kind of looking at the farmers as a whole, mm-hmm. studying their results and their patterns and what the outcomes are, they may be able to scientifically, you know, deduce, okay, look, this is what we need to do, or even develop something, you know, for them as well. So I agree. We'll take a break here now and come back with some more on Everyday Design.
Do you have windows that need repairing? Do you need screens? Are you propping up your windows with a stick? Don't wait till the hurricane season to fix your windows and screens. Call Lord's Window and Screen Repairs at 261-8732 or 260-8633. We are your reliable window and door screen repair company. Protect your home and family with Lord's Window and Screen Repairs. Contact us today on Facebook or call 261-8732 or 260-8633 for a free quotation.
Welcome back to Everyday Design. We're here with James Paul, head of the Barbados Agricultural Society, and we want to give a shout out to our sponsors, Lord's Window and Screen Repair and Harris Paints. And we're talking about food security. And I have a question for Mr. Paul. This is a hard question, so I don't need, if you need a little time to think about it. What would a food secure Barbados look like in terms of acreage and production? What type of crops would we have? And I guess this would be like a perfect scenario, you know, a perfect scenario for the agricultural society. What would that look like? What kind of crops would we be looking to do? What kind of acreage would we be looking to do? Or have we lost too much acreage to real estate already?
I mean, you know, we are supposed to have 30,000, I believe, acres of land available to agriculture. I don't know if we have that amount.
Right. And I guess, like, how much can each acre produce per 200 and something thousand people?
You know, but the thing is really that we have the ability to produce.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly the crops that we have here, I mean, the sweet potatoes, yams, a lot of those, the complex carbohydrates,
mm-hmm.
that really is essential for human health in many ways. We can actually produce those. There are some issues that they have indicated before in terms of agronomic issues that need to be dealt with. But I think with the correct application of resources, that these are things that can be dealt with. We have, for instance, and moving away from crops, we have a very healthy poultry industry in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And I have always said that, you know, if we took away the imports, I believe that the poultry industry can actually step up and supply Barbados with 100% of its poultry.
Oh, really?
Because, you see, we, in this whole debate on chicken wings, the demand for chicken wings in Barbados is a contrived demand. And I use the word contrived, very carefully contrived over the years, where it came in the initial stages as a poor man's food at a very low price. So that's why people they weren't attracted because the fact they love chicken wings so badly. It was the price, okay? And we seem not to sometimes want to admit this, that the price is the main point that is attracting people. And there was a time, actually, in Barbados when we had stopped importing chicken wings. Mm-hmm. And nobody missed it. Nobody missed those chicken wings. And it just goes to show you, really, that yes, it serves importers to create the myth to think that, you know, the Barbados love it. But that's just, it is a marketing thing that's mm-hmm. developed over the years that have implanted in the minds of Barbadians, oh, I love chicken wings so much. But, you know, with any product, and in a sense, I do blame the industry. We have to take some of the blame for that, because I don't believe that we have forcefully marketed our local products as much as we should, because we made the assumption that because of the fact that this thing is being produced locally, that automatically consumers will just rush to it. We believe that because of the fact that the Barbados yam has wonderful nutritional properties associated with it, that consumers would rush to it and say, let's buy it. But we cannot take that for granted, because the truth is, really, every product needs to be marketed. We are in competition with imported products that every day you turn on the television or you hear on the radio, some foreign product is being marketed as against your local product.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are not keeping Barbadians aware as to, look, what are the real good properties of eating, the reason why you should eat sweet potato, why should you eat local lettuce? And one of the things that I keep on telling people, the fresher the food that you eat, the more nutritious it is to your body, the more that you can benefit. But the question is, do we do enough of that as a local sector to let Barbadians know? We take it for granted. Man, I produce this wonderful pig here, so as a result of that, people automatically buy. That is not necessarily true.
Mm-hmm.
Because in a sense, you also have somebody who's importing pork who wants to sell it, and they can see it. And you know where they go for that imported pork? Again, because of the price. It is not because it is any better. As a matter of fact, it might be worse. And usually it is worse than what you are producing locally, because God knows how long that pork was there from where it came here. You know, mm-hmm. all of those things. And the thing about it is that we need to not take what we have for granted, because in the same way as I mentioned before, that in many ways, even in terms of our policymakers, all policymakers
mm-hmm.
take the agricultural sector for granted. Even sometimes the agricultural sector, we take ourselves for granted. We take it for granted that people will support us, but they don't necessarily support us. It is something that we have to continue to be marketing, so that people will recognize, one, the value of our products, the contribution that it can make, of course, in terms of our health, because that is something that we don't tighten very easily to,
mm-hmm.
okay? And the fact that it makes a significant contribution to the national economy, and I will venture to say this too, that when you look at our national GDP statistics, it is said that, of course, we contribute, they say 3%. But in many cases, the contribution that agriculture makes to the national economy is very much understated, because it is not reported.
It's not reported.
I mean, how do you explain, for instance?
I guess it's because a lot of the traders, the one-on-one transaction that's taking place is not necessarily going precisely. Into the formal recording system. That's what you mean?
Right?
Oh, okay.
In a sense, part of the underground economy.
But you see, it should not be an underground economy. Maybe there's some need to also track and trace that.
Of course.
Even for scientific purposes as well.
But you know, even for tax purposes, you don't know. There's no people might not even want to report it.
Well,
know?
Yeah.
But the point I'm essentially trying to make is that we have a situation where the contribution that agriculture makes to our national economy is very much understated. And if you were to get the real true contribution, I think it would surprise a lot of people in terms of the magnitude of the contribution, and even in terms of employment. One of the issues that we have in the agriculture sector is how we treat our employees. In too many cases, we have a situation where the Polytechnic, that's a very good word. I really want to praise institutions, the Polytechnic and the Barbados Community College, mm-hmm. in producing students who are very much interested in agriculture. We have to ask ourselves the extent to which we are taking those students and trying to initiate them into the sector properly,
mm-hmm.
okay, and using the skills that they have learned in terms of doing it. So, you know, these combination of things
right.
is something that we need to consider.
Okay, Mr. Paul, thank you very much for joining us on Everyday Design. We're talking about designing our food security. And I want to encourage the Agricultural Society and the university, you know, maybe form some relationships. You know, maybe you even get your own cadre of scientists, mm-hmm. you know, who are working with you. Because I agree with you that as Caribbean people and our mindset, we need to see that we can do things. Yeah. You know, we need to see that we can employ skills and come up with ideas and actually do stuff that's going to help ourselves move forward. So thank you from Lord's Window and Screen Repairs, Harris Paints. Thank you very much for your sponsorship of Everyday Design. And we will catch you again next week.